I'll have you turn in your Bibles, Luke chapter 13. The title for our little talk this morning is Beware of the Leaven. Beware of the Leaven. We're in Luke chapter 13. Allow me to turn there also. I should have been there to begin with. In Luke chapter 13. We're going to go back now all the way to the days of Jesus. And in the days of Jesus, of course, we know that He ministered to the people, and sometimes He was surrounded with great crowds of people. People from every walk of life. You can think of poor people and rich people and illiterate people and ragged beggars and thieves and cripples and people who have dissipated their lives with sin. There were merchants there, there were common people there were publicans there were women and children, and of course the people who are always there, of course, the professional religionists like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the members of the Sanhedrin, probably the Herodians and the Bible lawyers, all kinds of people like that. Now, you and I know this last group of people because there's so much written about them in the Bible. Getting hot up here. Yeah. And we also know that these people were somewhat self-important, weren't they? They loved recognition. And what do you suppose they were thinking when they were thinking about Jesus? They would come and see all these big crowds of people, and Jesus was ministering unto them, and they would think themselves so superior that they would wonder at Jesus. They would say stuff like, "This rabbi," they're thinking to themselves here, "this Jesus, this supposed Messiah, is wasting his time dealing with such lowlife." That's what they were thinking. And by the way, I didn't make that up. I got it from the Spirit of Prophecy. Now, Jesus, do you think that He knew what these people were thinking? Oh yeah, it's amazing in the Bible how that He could read people's minds. Well, I think the Holy Spirit was there to communicate to Jesus what He needed to know at the moment. And so in this situation right here, Jesus decided to meet these people with a parable. And here's where we are. We're in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, we're going to read verses 20 and 21. It's a parable that Jesus has given us to meet the kind of thinking that went on in the Pharisees' heads. Verse 20 and 21. "And again He said, 'Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened.'" Now, of course, we understand that Jewish people understood what leaven was. Women back there were making bread, just like women today are making bread. And they understood that it only took a little bit of leaven to put in the whole, and that it would permeate the whole thing. However, in the days of Jesus, even though they used leaven for making bread, leaven had kind of a negative connotation, don't you think? I mean, because the symbolism for leaven in the days of Jesus was what? Sin, that's what it was. So it has a negative connotation. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. We're going to see that it had more negative connotations as well. We're in Luke chapter 12. We're looking at verse 1 in Luke chapter 12. "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, He, Jesus, began to say unto His disciples, first of all, 'Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Do you all know what hypocrisy is? Now, I'd be surprised if you didn't know what hypocrisy is. But hypocrisy is pretending to be something that you are not. And in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees, the pastors of the day, the Sadducees, the members of the Sanhedrin, all of these people seemed to be pretending or doing as hard as they could to present themselves as righteous. Not realizing, of course, or they should have realized that they were not righteous. They should have realized that. Doesn't the Old Testament say that all our righteousnesses are filthy rags? Isaiah 64 verse 6. Don't you suppose these people who are religionists had not read the Bible enough to know that that's what it says? And doesn't the New Testament say that there is none righteous? No, not one. And yet these people tried so hard to present themselves as righteous. Well, Jesus called it. He said it was hypocrisy. Now, as we go on reading here in Luke chapter 12, we're going to see that Jesus made a promise to people who pretend to be something that they are not. Now, let me show you what that promise is. Verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed upon housetops. Now, I choose to believe in any case, that there are no hypocrites in this room. That would be a wonderful thing, don't you think? I don't think there's anyone here trying to hide anything. Ah, friends, don't try to hide anything we've just heard. If we are being hypocritical, what's going to happen? There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. As a matter of fact, I think it says somewhere in Numbers 32, verse 23, behold, your sins will find you out. And so if there is anything in your life that you are hiding, that you don't want anyone else to know, that you are pretending isn't so, that you are someone else, friend, listen, come clean, because you're going to come clean anyway, eventually. And it's a terrible thing to be found out, to be exposed when we don't want to be exposed. But that's what the Lord says will happen. So beware of Phariseeism. That is, beware of thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. It is leaven. And the legalists, the people who are like the Pharisees, are like leaven. They have influence over the people. Well, so do the permissive people as well. And so we may have legalists on one hand, we may have permissive people on the other hand, and they all have an influence, don't they? Sure. Beware that you are not influenced by anything that does not come from the Word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 8 in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. More leaven. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do you know what the unleavened bread is? There is only one bread that is unleavened, and that is the bread of life. And that's Jesus. He is totally, and the Word of God is totally without sin. Eat the unleavened bread, is trying to say here. And the point of all this, of course, is be careful, because you and I can be influenced. There are two great influencers in this world. We know who that is. It's God on the one hand through the Holy Spirit and Satan on the other hand. And besides that, do you know that every person that you mix with has an influence? Oh yeah, every person has an influence for good or for evil. And the impact that the persons have out there upon yourself depends on the direction in which you and I lean. Let me share an example for you. About a week ago on a Friday evening, we heard a long talk on dress reform, and that was on Friday evening. The speaker, of course, Dwayne Lemon, was very forceful, well prepared, and convincing. And I hope that by the Holy Spirit, there was conviction that would be spread through every heart and every mind. I hope so anyway. It would be great that we all be influenced to be more modest in every respect of the word. But now, suppose I come behind Dwayne Lemon. Now, I'm not as famous as he is, and I'm not as influential, I think, as he is, but it's possible for me to say something contrary to what he said, and it may be something that you would rather hear what I have to say than what he had to say. Not because I'm more influential, but because you and I could be leaning in the opposite direction, right? We hear what he had to say, we might say, I don't like it. And I come along and I come up with supporting arguments to what I have to say, and I'm telling you, hey, you don't have to go that far, you don't have to do that, you don't have to do this, and here's the supporting arguments that I have. What would you be inclined to do? Yeah. Well, friends, we would be inclined to lean towards that which we prefer. Beware of the leaven that is found in the advice that people give or anything that we say. This is how leaven works, doesn't it? If you listen to Fox News, you will be influenced to go right. If you listen to CNN, you will be influenced to go left. Is that true? Is there influence? Is there influence in the media today? Well, of course, there's all kinds of influence in the media today. Now, someone would say, well, I thought that the media were supposed to be totally unbiased. Aren't they supposed to be totally unbiased? Wouldn't it be a blessing if they were all like Walter Cronkite? Yeah, when he gave the news back then, there was no bias one way or the other. He just said, this is what happened today, here or there or the other place. And it was unbiased because that was the standard. And I wish the standard were the same. Okay, but it isn't the same because, friends, you and I live in a corrupt world. We live in a corrupt world. Everyone, I think I said that to some people here not too long ago, everyone in the world is insane. Every single individual to different degrees, right? And some of us are coming out of it. Oh, I hope we're coming out of it. I don't like to be insane. Yeah, but we're all insane and we all have an opinion and everyone has influence for weal or for woe. This is the truth. How should we relate to each other's influence? Well, it's very easy. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And that's how we should relate to everything that comes our way. 1 John chapter 4, and probably most of you know where I'm going. 1 John chapter 4, we're looking at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. What? Don't believe everything you hear. That's what he's saying. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And friends, the world is filling up with false prophets. Corruption is everywhere. Lies is coming from every direction. What can we believe? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8, we're looking at verse 20. To the law. And to the testimony, if everything that's coming at you does not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Judge everything by the word of God is what the Lord is trying to tell us. Therefore, beware, that is, be aware of the leavening agent inside the information that's coming your way. And all of this, what I've said to this point, is bad news. But there's good news. There's good news because you know that leaven goes both ways, right? We can be leavened for good or we can be leavened for bad. We can be influenced rightly. We can be influenced wrongly. There is good news. In the opening parable, of course, Jesus is addressing these self-important Pharisees at that time who's looking down on other people, looking down on the uneducated and the common folk and the tax collectors and the rabble and the lowly and the sinners. And to these people, to these self-righteous people, he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, go with me to Romans chapter 5 and see what Jesus really was trying to say to these people in the parable that he was sharing with them in Mark chapter 3. So we're in Romans chapter 5, we're looking at verse 21. See, they were looking down on the people. They had judged the people. There were poor people, for sure they didn't have God's favor. There were publicans, they're tax collectors, well, for sure they don't have God's favor. There were prostitutes, and there were all kinds of uneducated people, and it was very important that only the educated be exalted. Yeah. And Jesus is looking at them in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. This is the message that Jesus was trying to give, verse 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto righteousness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know that self-righteous people write other people off. That's what it means to be self-righteous. But Jesus is trying to say here that no one is so vile, no one is fallen so low, no one is so hopeless as to be beyond the power of His grace. Is it true? Yeah. Let's not look down upon anyone. They may well enter into the kingdom of God before us. Didn't Jesus say that to the Pharisees? The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before you. And who were you? Not you, but them. Yeah. They were the pastors of the day. They were the religious people of the day. And they had grown up to have such a high estimation of themselves that anyone below their own self-esteem was considered scum. Christ Object Lessons, page 96. Man cannot transform himself. Did you know that? Did you hear that? Man cannot transform himself by the exercise of his will. He possesses no power by which this change can be effected. We cannot change ourselves. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? Neither are ye who are accustomed to do evil, do good. That's what the Bible says. The Lord is trying to tell us we have no power to change ourselves. And then the next two words in this little quotation is the leaven. What? There's a leaven. Something holy from without must be put into the meal, that is, into our hearts, before the desired change can be wrought in it. So the grace of God, that's the leaven now, the grace of God must be received by the sinner before he can be fitted for the kingdom of glory. Did you catch the phrase, something holy from without? We can't save ourselves. Praise God, because I've been trying. It doesn't work. I can't change myself. I can't save myself. And God comes to me and He says, you're attempting an impossibility. I alone can save you. So I get on my knees and I ask God, Lord, save me. You've promised to save me. Can He do it? Yes, He can. Will He do it? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. We must believe this thing. He has the power to save. And we just praise the Lord for it. I think it's the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Greek, to the Jew first, and then also the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power inherent in God to save them that believe. That is good news if you trust God to do it. Yeah, yeah. There are tons of people trying by changing the outwards, the externals, by reforming the externals, to get where only the revival could get them there. They hope to become Christians by changing this habit or that habit. But they are starting in the wrong place. They need to start with the heart. Christ Object Lessons 97, paragraph 3. The man who attempts to keep the commandments of God from a sense of obligation merely because he is required to do so will never enter into the joy of obedience. And so I was talking about Duane Lemon a little while ago, and he gave us such a good talk, a long talk on dress reform, and it's all good and it's all wonderful. And many of us can be left with the idea, this is what I am required to do. This is my obligation to meet. And then we begin to work on our obligation because we are required to do it. Now, I wouldn't want to discourage you from working on your obligation, but let me tell you what, there's a lot easier way to get where you want to go. When the requirements, I'm reading again still, Christ Object Lesson 97, paragraph 3. When the requirements of God are accounted a burden because they cut across human inclination, we may know that the life is not a true Christian. Huh? Yeah. So we do everything God wants us to do, but it's really wish we didn't have to. But that's what He requires, so we do it. And we just hate every minute of it. And guess what? This is not Christianity. True obedience is the outworking of a principle within. In other words, it's leaven, right? And God takes the little seed of grace and He implants it in the heart. And when that little seed is implanted in the heart, it permeates the whole being. And then we come to the place where we love to obey because we love God. And we can see what He's done on our behalf. And we're so grateful. There is nothing that we would deny God because we love Him. It's so much easier to obey when we love to obey, isn't it? Oh, yes, yes. And by the way, don't make any mistake here. Don't get me wrong. I am not trying to sabotage Pastor Lemon's sermon on dress. No, no. And like I said, if you want to work on the externals on dress, by all means, work on the externals if that's what you want. At least we'll have a good impression on other people, right? But I'm here to tell you, it will be a whole lot easier and genuine if it comes from the heart. And so that's where we need to begin the work. Don't you think? Oh, yes. Desire of Ages, 668, paragraph 3. You've heard this many times. All true obedience comes from the heart. It was heart work with Christ. Christ loved His Father. Christ loved to obey Him. Christ loved to do exactly what was right because that's the thing He loved, is the right. He didn't love the wrong, and therefore it was not a huge problem for Him to shun the wrong. No, the big temptation for Jesus was not shunning doing wrong. The big temptation for Him was using His power to get Himself out of some of the jams He was in. And that was a huge temptation for Him. Yeah. It goes on to say, if we consent, Jesus will so identify Himself with our thoughts and aims, so blend our hearts and minds into conformity to His will, that when obeying Him, we shall but be carrying out our own impulses. How would you like to live where you can carry out all your own impulses and it's wonderful and there's no one to condemn you for it because your impulses are all right? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, this is the promise that God is giving to us, that this is what can happen to us. We can, by the grace of God implanted in our hearts, come to the place where we do only that which we want to do, and it turns out that everything we want to do is perfect. Whoa! I tell you what, that would be wonderful. I'll listen. The Jews were experts on working on the externals. As a matter of fact, that's all they could work on. Somehow, they hadn't heard what I'm talking about this morning. And so they did everything they could. They invented all kinds of laws to protect themselves from breaking the Ten Commandments so that they could go to heaven. And what did Jesus say to them? Well, He came to one of their leaders one day and He said to them in John chapter 3, verse 3, you must be born again. You can't be saved without being born again. He said, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is of the spirit is of the spirit. And the two don't mix. And so we're all born of the flesh. We're all born in this world. We're all born sinful. We're all born spiritually dead. And Jesus says, unless you pass from death to life, you cannot see to understand how to be saved. That's what He was saying in John chapter 3. Go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 24 in John chapter 5. Beautiful verse, really. I really appreciate it. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Oh, that's verse 25. I'm sorry. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. We are born dead spiritually, and we need to pass from death to life. We need to be born again. We need that little seed of leaven implanted in our hearts and to have it permeate our whole being so that we come alive spiritually. What a blessing. What a blessing. And who is it that passes from death to life? Well, if you look at the verse very carefully, you find out that they that read the word and believe on Jesus, by the word a new principle is implanted in the heart, And like leaven, of course, it begins to permeate the whole. Christ Object Lessons 101, paragraph 1. Received into the heart, the leaven of truth will regulate the desires, purify the thoughts, sweeten the disposition. It quickens the faculties of the mind and energies of the soul. It enlarges the capacity for feeling and for loving. We can come to the place where we really love people. Can we? Yes, we can. Our friend, listen. We are all influenceable. That's a hard word to say. Influenceable. We all can be leavened. So let's be careful with what it is that we allow to come our way that influences us. One way or the other. Bring everything to the Word of God, to the law and to the testimony. If there's no light there, don't go there. Don't go there. Let's put our lives in the hands of God. What do you say?